Good morning. Everybody take a look up. The Spirit has not left the building. Amen. Amen. It is good to have you here this morning. We will speak to the few in number during the sermon, but that's okay. It is good to have those of you who are here. For those who were traveling over the weekend, we are glad that they got to worship with their families. And I've heard some wonderful stories about Easter celebrations with family and other churches. So as long as they were in church, we are happy. So this morning, take a moment to look through your announcements. They may be thinning out a little bit, however, we still are very active, and so take a moment to see all of the ways that you can participate in education and fellowship and service and join in where and when you feel called. Our prayer request this morning, actually before I get to that, don't see any unfamiliar faces. So those of you who are normally here, if you would take the pew pad and record your attendance as we're speaking, that would be good. But our concerns this morning, we have a few that are not listed in the bulletin, I do not believe. And we want to keep in our prayers G.R. Howard, who is our beloved Sevilla's brother. Vicki spoke with me a couple of days ago, and he has been placed on hospice. Seems to be alert, and certainly memory is sharp, and he is in good shape as far as he says his mental facilities are good. And so, but not only keep GR in your prayers, but keep Vicki and all who are attending to him at this moment. As you well know, this is a time when a lot of decisions have to be made, and they're not always easy decisions to be made. And so we keep you all in our prayers this morning. From our breakfast yesterday, we have continuing prayers for those who are not just homeless, but those who are working, those who have enough to sustain living and yet no permanent place to call home. And so our prayers continue every week, not only for those who want to be in a stable home setting, but those for those who can't. We pray shelter for them. Sean just asked for us to keep in prayers Malachi and Lily Armstrong. They are 12 and 13-year-old students of Sean's, and they lost their father this past week. So Malachi and Lily Armstrong. And then from Janice this morning, we have our resident animal lover among many of you who are animal lovers. Janice's is a little more focused. Hers is her love are horses. And they are at this point in Sunnyvale trying to close the horse barn where a lot of those animals are sheltered in order to build another soccer field. And it's touched Janice's heart very deeply and the heart of a lot who are in that community. And so for our four-legged friends who are as precious as our two-legged friends, we keep them in prayer. And Janice, keep you in your efforts for that in prayer also. Let's see. A couple of... I have another joy too. Go ahead.
Terry Wells, who we've been praying for, received her PET scan results and significant change has been made.
Mm-hmm. And And Terry's my first one on my list. I paid attention to your text. So, no, that's good. And then for Melody this morning, we had her brother-in-law, James Mars, on our prayer concerns last week. He is dealing with Alzheimer's. Melody said that yesterday he was able to carry on a conversation with her and recognize her. And we all know that when you're dealing with memory issues, those things come and go, but we are always grateful for those little snippets of moments when we are recognized and remembered. And then last but not least, Hannah. We had Hannah on our prayer list last week, waiting test results, and the test results have come in, and while we don't like this, it is so much better than the alternative. Hannah is dealing with allergies, and so she will be seeing an allergist and will begin, I guess, some medications or some shots, and so Becky and Grandma Sherry are very excited as we are. Those are my joys and my concerns this morning. Have I missed anything? One final announcement. Immediately after session meeting today, Gary and I will be traveling toward our Con Ed event, which is in Ruidosa, trying to make it to Lubbock this evening. So we will be at a Con Ed event for next week, and then the following week we are going to take a week just to breathe and relax and collect ourselves. As you all well know, I am available if needed. However, Polly is going to be covering pastoral care issues across the board for me, so you can call Chandra if you need to, and she can get you in touch with Polly. So I think that's it this morning. As we prepare to give thanksgiving to God on this yet another Resurrection Sunday, let us join our hearts together in prayer. As we worship, thank you.
Please join me as we are called to worship. The risen Christ meets us at the tomb and turns our tears to joy. Christ comes through our locked doors and turns our fear to courage.
For your love and goodness, give thanks to God.
Christ comes to daily life and work and turns our failure to new vision.
For your love and goodness, give thanks to God.
Christ breaks the bread and turns our despair to hope. In these quiet moments, away from all those things which distract us, let us bring our brokenness to the one who listens to our hearts and heals our souls. Join me as we pray, saying, with joy,
we have to worship God. We come to give thanks to Jesus Christ. We come to embrace the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Yet we admit that there are times when we feel afraid, abandoned,
your hearts together as we pray. Lord, we come before you today praying that by the power of Holy Spirit, we will lift by your word that calls us to be your agents of unity, revealing the light of Christ wherever you send us. Amen. Today's reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 4, 32-35. Listen for the word of the Lord. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what they sold. They sit laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Now is the hour come, Christ has come.
Thank you, choir. The reading this week, last week we read Luke's story of the resurrection. This week we are moving over into John, and John's resurrection story was just a little bit different than Luke's, and we'll hear a little bit about that in the sermon. But the resurrection has taken place, and now in the 20th chapter of John, verses 19 through 31, we hear the after story. Listen for the word of the Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. And Jesus came to them, and he stood among them, and he said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. And if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, then they're retained." But Thomas, who was also called the twin, one of the 12, was not there with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in the hands, and unless I put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. And although the door was shut, Jesus came in and he stood among them and he said, "Peace be with you." And then he turned to Thomas and said, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand, put it on my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus, after that, did many signs in the presence of disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you and I may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing in him, you may have life in his name. This is the wonderful word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Alleluia, alleluia, the Lord is risen. Amen. Just in case you have a need to know, that is my favorite hymn of all time. So just to put that in your memory bank somewhere. To behold something means that we focus our attention intentionally and intently. To behold something means that we focus our attention intentionally and intently. Barbara Brown Taylor, the Episcopal priest, seminary professor, author turned self-proclaimed farm girl in her retirement, has this wonderful confession about leaving church. That's the title of her book. And I think it probably illustrates what she was feeling and what you and I are probably feeling after that glorious Resurrection Sunday last week that we celebrated. This is what she wrote. The parts of the Christian story that had drawn me into the church were not those believing parts, but the beholding parts. You know, those things like, behold, I bring you great tidings of good joy. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Christian faith, she says, seems to depend on beholding things that are clearly beyond belief. And so I wanted out of that belief business, and I wanted back into the beholding business. I wanted to recover the kind of faith that has nothing to do with being sure of what I believe and everything to do with trusting God to catch me, even though I am absolutely sure of nothing. And so here we are. It's the Sunday after Easter. And there's no doubt that things have calmed down a little bit. As I alluded to earlier, we are thinning a little bit this week. We no longer have the flowered cross. We no longer have our bright Easter dress. In my sermon, I wrote that the balloons were gone, but no, not really. So we're going to take that one out. But the brass is gone. So is that it? Do we close up shop after Easter? Was last week's celebration all there is about Easter? Are we going to keep seeking, claiming, beholding all of those resurrection moments that happen every single day, not just on the resurrection day of our Lord? God puts those resurrecting moments in front of us all of the time. And you know, that is what I love about you here at Eastminster. We love our high holy days. We celebrate with great joy. But we are not willing, after those high holy days, to sort of settle into a lull. And I have to tell you, at this particular moment, a lull sounds pretty good after the pace of Easter and Holy Week and Resurrection Sunday. And it's okay to rest. It's maybe not okay to take a long rest. Jesus said, we are the sent out ones. We are the ones who are now challenged, and I think we are challenged, and this congregation is excited about continuing to tell that resurrection story in order to keep it alive. It would be easy to sit back, but that's not who we are. We are peoples who obviously are not afraid to roll up our sleeves. We're not afraid to get a little bit tired. We're not afraid to get our hands dirty. As long as we are telling and sharing the story of our faith, the story of hope, as we said last week, still so many people don't know. So in answer to the question, was last week's celebration all there was? Is it just Easter and then nothing else? Absolutely not. And you and I know that. Sometimes we have to be reminded, though, that Easter is an everyday way of living. And sometimes you even have to intentionally and intently seek out, behold some of those resurrection moments. Sometimes we have to put ourselves in places where the Lord needs us to be. Our text this morning addressed that same question on that first night after Easter. Jesus has been publicly executed. The disciples are trying to find a safe room in a safe place because, as Scripture says, they are afraid of the Jews. They are afraid that they're next on the hit list. It's been Sunday. They've been hiding since Friday. And I don't know about you, but if you've ever been cooped up for a while, I mean, you start to get antsy. So I can only imagine not only being cooped up, but being cooped up with fear and the smell. 3 days of not leaving a room has to be horrible. They're there. They're talking, perhaps whispering to one another. All, at least at this point, but Thomas. You wonder, well, has he just stepped out for a deep breath of fresh air? How long will they have to stay locked up until someone recognizes them as Jesus' followers? There's so many unknowns after Jesus' resurrection. In John's telling of the resurrection story, like I said before, Mary actually comes to the disciples because she has seen the Lord with her own eyes. In Luke last week, we talked about the angels coming and telling her, and she believed by faith. In John's gospel, she comes and she says, "I have seen the Lord," and the disciples in their most wonderful famous words say, "Hogwash, Leros, not true." But just imagine that electricity that's in the air of not knowing what's happening next. They want to believe, but they're not quite sure how to do it. And then on the third evening, something happened that made all of the difference in the world, and it challenged everything that they knew about the life and the death of Jesus, because he was standing right in front of them. They didn't know what to believe. Were their eyes playing tricks? Was this a ghost? Jesus knows their anxiety, just like Jesus knows our anxieties. And what does he say to them? Peace be with you. What does he say? Peace be with you. He says it twice in the beginning, and then he comes back and he says it a third time. But then he follows that up. Peace be with you, but let me tell you what your business is about now. Your business is about now being sent out. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. He answers that question for us from last week, that Jesus has breathed the Holy Spirit upon them. He breathes the Holy Spirit upon us. And in 2019, we are to focus our attention intentionally and intently on God's grace and God's gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. Jesus needed them to get out of the room. He needed them to not be frightened anymore. And so he gave them enough peace, and he gave them enough of his spirit, his life, his very breath to get them up and to get them moving. And it's no different with us even today. The point of Easter is to get us, men and women and children and teens, even though sometimes we are frightened, sometimes we are discouraged, oftentimes doubtful, sometimes just stuck. Sometimes we just get stuck. Easter is about getting us moving from this place of sanctuary out into the world, moving to those who need to know that the risen Christ can make a difference. The point of Easter is to move us fully believing that God is doing a new thing into our being part of that new thing. I don't know about you, but that's pretty exciting. God created us to be in partnership. God continues to ask us to be in partnership. And then God is doing this new thing and says, I want you to be part of that plan. The new thing begins with the belief that Jesus, whose life and death is not the last word. I'm speaking from myself, however, I know where you all have been for the last at least 7 weeks. You've been making every step that I have made. And honestly, I could use a little resurrecting energy right now. And so my prayer is that this gift of Easter, this gift of these new beginnings, will also be part of a new faith journey for you. Thomas had a little bit of trouble grasping that moment. We know he's not there in the beginning, and we know that he says, I need you to prove this. And honestly, I can't tell you what my response would have been. I am hardwired for doubt. We all are. Because faith is a gift that we receive. It's a gift that we need to be praying for all of the time. Without doubt, there is a great need for us to continue to ask for the faith that we need to be, not just to behold, not just to believe, but to be the people that God has asked of us to be. Barbara Brown Taylor says, you know, I never physically left the church, but my leaving was about getting back to that place of being a disciple of Jesus and not just a member of some organization that does good. She says that doubt was the catalyst that actually led her into a deeper faith in God because it was a radical trust. God was asking her to do so many things, and she kept saying, I am afraid, I am discouraged, I can't do this, but give me the faith to believe that I can. And in those doubts, she says, I gained radical faith. Faith is what made her get up, go out into the world, and be the new thing that God intended her to be instead of just believing it. Faith is getting up and leaving the locked room and marking into the future unafraid. If I were to ask you to take just a moment, and in your mind, what are you most afraid of right now? Just take a moment. What are you most afraid of right now? As resurrection people, we're going to have doubts. And that's when we turn to prayer and we turn to faith and we turn to our community that prays for us. And that is the what now of Easter. The what now is believing, beholding, and being. We're called to believe enough that when we go out of these locked doors, we are no longer afraid in our mind to do the things that God is calling us to do, because God makes all things new, God makes all things different, and God is still making all things new. In Christ, there is always hope. It's that evening. Thomas is in the room this time. Jesus comes and he says, peace be with you, touch me, believe. And you know, Thomas doesn't even have to do that. He says, unless I see him, unless I touch him, I'm not going to believe. And yet the power of Jesus' words were enough for him. And he says, you are my Lord and you are my God. And now he is about getting up and going. Keep believing. You and I need to keep believing, because in our believing, we have that translated into being. We've been given that invitation to walk wherever those places are that frighten us, those places that make us want to hide, those places that worry us about the future. And yet Jesus says, I'm already there. I'm ahead of you. And I've got this. Through us, the Lord is still changing the world and making all things new. And when you and I move from believing to being, we discover that in a sometimes weary witnessing, we will discover or we will recover, as Barbara Brown Taylor says, that faith has nothing to do with being sure about what we believe and everything to do about trusting the Lord to catch us when we're not sure of anything. Faith is not ours. It is a gift. Pray for it more. Be bold. Step out. Believe. Don't be frightened. And Eastminster, I want to thank you all for all that you believe and all that you do, but even more so for wanting those two things to come together into being good and faithful disciples. Thank you and amen.
Will you please stand and affirm your faith?
With the confidence that our prayers are heard and our prayers are answered in God's way, with God's will, and in God's time, let us open up our hearts and be at peace and enjoy these moments that we have talking with God. Ever-present God, we thank you that you fill our world and our lives with wonder and with amazement. We might miss it if we weren't looking for it. But every day, God, your presence surrounds us. And we know that not everything we ask for happens. But we hold on to hope, and then we believe that there is good in the world. And that you are still at work making all things new. We know that death doesn't have the final word and that there is the promise of resurrection, which is the greatest wonder and gift and blessing of all. This morning, Lord, we come to you in prayer for those who are known to us who are not in the best of health, for those who are frail. We come, Lord, asking prayers for our members and friends who are bound to homes. And Lord, we especially ask this morning your healing presence, your comforting spirit, your hope, and your promise of life beyond this life for Malachi and Lily, as they mourn the loss of their father. Lord, we ask you to be with, to comfort, and to bring peace to GR and to all who care for him. May he know that the presence of your Spirit and the presence of our prayers surround him. For those looking for shelter, Lord, for those looking for homes, for those looking to have life be a little easier, a little more stable, we ask always, Lord, that you will put people and paths in front of them that will lead them not only to a place with walls, but, Lord, to a community of faith that they can call home also. For all of our brothers and sisters, particularly in the Christian faith, for this time of persecution and horror, Lord, we ask that you will keep us strong in our faith, that you will make us bold to continue to tell your story and to not be frightened. We have to tell it, Lord, or it won't be heard. We are grateful, Lord, for the gifts of those moments where we see small resurrections and we see things that are good. We are glad this morning for results for Terry that are positive. We are grateful that James is able to have that moment of recognition. And we pray that those will come more as you see. For our beloved little Hannah, we are so grateful, Lord, that allergies are the only thing that are affecting her, and we pray for relief, and not just for her, Lord, but for all who suffer this season. We pray, God, for Tammy and for her family, and we ask that your Spirit be with them this week. Lead us with grace and love and peace. Fill us with hope and patience and stamina. Transform us to grow, to understand, and not only to see, not only to believe, not only to behold, but to be your whole people. For all of the resurrecting moments of our lives, thank you, Lord. And it is in the name of our Lord that we pray together, saying, this morning, may our tithes and our offerings be used to build up community, to bring peace, and to be a double blessing to those who are in need around this good world. May what we offer this morning be pleasing to the Lord.
Sun, day, morning, and night.
Let us offer thanksgiving to God. With these gifts, we proclaim not ourselves but Jesus and commit ourselves to follow a way that leads to love and life. May our sacrifice be witness to our love for each other and the love and the God who loves us all. Amen.
I can't outdo the invitation to discipleship. Better than Jesus, imagine that. Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. That's what we need to hear this morning. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. But we go not out alone. We go in a community, and we not only go out in a community, we go out with these words, my peace be with you. And so this morning, may the peace of our Lord be with you. With a little bit of that resurrection energy, would you turn to one another and offer peace?